We read a scripture just a moment ago in the middle of that song. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. When giving thanks, what we're really doing is giving credit where credit is due. Am I right? If someone gives you something and you have received that and you are blessed by that, you want to give them credit for giving that to you. The song we just sang, thank you, God, for saving me. There's only one God. There's only one God that could save us. And He sent His Son to die for each one of us. And He deserves the credit. Amen? So it's easy to give thanks when your bills are paid, you have a roof over your head, when everyone in the family is healthy. But when we lose a loved one, when we're struggling to find the answer to an illness, when our job isn't going so well, many times it's hard to find thanks or gratitude. But our scripture said to give thanks to the Lord, for He is what? Good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is what? That was better. He is good, not because we feel good, not because He makes everything good. He is good. That was a weak amen. He is good. Amen. If God ever ceases to be good, then I think we could probably stop thanking Him. But how many of you know that's never going to happen? See, gratitude is a value that unlocks so many other positive values. Gratitude makes you generous. And we are a generous church. I believe we are thankful. We understand what God has done for us. Gratitude makes you encouraging. Gratitude makes you thankful. It unlocks so many other positive qualities. Here's the tragedy, though. This is the reality, is that not everyone in this world will experience a heart of gratitude. Not everyone. Some will never be able to experience that. I'm going to show you an example in the Bible. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 11 through 19. Pick up in verse 11. It says, now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice. Obviously, they stood at a distance because they were lepers. They couldn't get close to anyone. But they said this, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when He saw them, He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And he was a Samaritan. Excuse me. Now, why does it say he was a Samaritan? Because Samaritans were a despised race. He was hated as a foreigner, but he didn't care. He came back and he gave thanks. Verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then He said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Now, if you look at this scripture, there's 4 simple things this Samaritan did in this to show his gratitude. See, there's levels of gratitude. You can simply say, thank you. You can tackle some with a big bear hug and say, thank you. Or you can just say, all right, thanks. I deserve that. So, and you go on about your business. But obviously 9 of these men were not too grateful. But this one, what did he do? He came back. He came back to Jesus. He didn't just do that. He was praising God in a loud voice. He also bowed before Jesus. And then it says he thanked Him. He wanted Jesus to know that he was grateful. He was giving credit where credit was due. Now, when we read this story, it's easy to miss the significance because we're not living in the moment. We don't see a lot of lepers around, okay? So we have to understand that from the depths of their heart, these 10 men are crying out for help. If you look in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 13, it teaches us what a leper had to do. Number one, they had to tear their clothes so that people would see from a distance that they were lepers. They had to be visible and let everyone know. They had to keep their mouth closed anytime someone was close so that they were not to spread the disease. Anytime anyone was coming towards them, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, to let people know, you can't get close to me because I am a leper. A leper would have to feel such rejection, never knowing what it was like to shake someone's hand or give someone a hug or embrace someone because of their disease. On top of that, their body would literally be oozing with sores. This is not a good thing. And so you can understand when they see Jesus, the hope that perhaps he could heal them. We're talking about from the depths of their heart, they're crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus did just that. Yet only one returned. 10 lives miraculously transformed. We're talking from no hope to back in society, being able to live as other people lived, and only one came back. Can I just tell you this? I myself, in reading this story, I hope, my desire is that I'm one. I'm one of the one. Whether it's 1 out of 10, 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000, I want to be the one who's grateful for what God has done for me. And I would hope that all of us would desire to be the one, to be grateful for what God has done for you. Because as I look around this room, every one of us has something to be grateful for. Every one of us have been blessed by God. May we not be the 9. I wonder what the statistics would be in this room. How many of us would have gone back and said thank you? So, as we're thinking about this, I want to give us 3 simple ways that we can give credit where credit is due. 3 simple things to think about. These are on the back of your bulletin, so you can follow along with me. Number one is to acknowledge every good thing I have comes from God. Now, that is an opportunity for you to agree with me by saying amen. So let me try this again. Acknowledge every good thing I have comes from God. Amen. I'm not just looking for amens just so that you can make me feel better. It's for you to agree and go, you know what? That's right. I do have to acknowledge every good thing I have comes from God. And the Bible says so. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above. You may say, well, Chad, I've worked very hard for what I have. I've earned it. And there may be some truth to that, that you actually are a good steward of what God has blessed you with. But can I tell you, God gave you the gifts in order to be blessed. He gave you the gifts in order to do the work that you do, to be the steward that you are. And every place where you succeed with a gift that God gave you. Think about Noah. God gave Noah a plan for the ark, the ability to build the ark. Therefore, he saved his family. God gave the Israelites bread from heaven in the morning, and he gave them fire by night. He gave David a stone, a slingshot, and the perfect aim in order to kill Goliath. He gave Jonah a fish to swallow him up, which had to be miserable. Can you imagine living in a fish? But he took him safely to shore so that Jonah could do what God had called him to do. God gave a young teenage girl, Mary, the courage to say yes to giving birth to the Savior of the world. He gave the wise men a star to lead them. He gave the Prince of Peace to us, the Savior of the world, to us. He gives us the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to convict us. He gives us health. He gives us friends to love and cherish. And he gives us every good thing. The life that we have is to be used to glorify him. So we need to understand that God is completely good. He is constantly good. He's unchanging good. He will never not be good. He can't be less than good. Can you say amen to that? Number 2. In order to give credit where credit is due, we must learn the secret of being content. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I don't know what you want. but we all want something. Some want a better car, a different house. We want to do a little traveling. We want different clothes. We want granite countertops because our food tastes better on granite countertops than on the old laminate countertops. So we are shooting for whatever we can do to be better, to have more. And Paul, he knew a secret. It was the secret to being content. Philippians chapter 4, and actually this is interesting. I did not know Lance was going to use this today, but he used verse 15 of Philippians chapter 4. I'm just going to back up about four verses and use 11 through 13. And Paul said this, "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. Here it is. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ." Now, athletes and lots of people love that last verse, the last part of that verse. I can do all things through Christ. And it's true. We can do all things. But Paul is talking about the reason he can do all things through Christ is it doesn't matter what he has, he can still do all things through Christ. It's not about his situation and how good or bad it is. He can do all things through Christ. Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 9. He said, "Better what the eye sees than the roving of the appetite." Better what we have in front of us, what we own, than to be looking at what everyone else has or what everything else that we want. Better to enjoy what is in front of us. Think about it. It's better to embrace what God has given you than always want something more. And whenever we adopt gratitude, it turns what we have into enough. I'll say that again. Whenever we adopt gratitude, it turns what we have into enough. Here's the thing to understand. It's not happy people who are grateful. It's grateful people who are happy. It's grateful people who are happy. And Paul knew the secret here. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He got to a place where Christ was all that he had. And here's the thing. You can understand this as well. Until Christ is all that you have, you may not ever know that Christ is all that you need. When you get to a place, suddenly what you have is tremendously a blessing in your life because you understand every good thing came from Christ. Whether I have a lot or a little, He is what matters. He is what satisfies me. He is what I need. We're giving credit where credit is due. Number three, we turn every blessing we have into praise. We turn every blessing we have into praise. Just a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we were talking about Solomon. And we were talking about this very thing. And here's the thing I just told them, and I've said this before, you've probably heard it before, but every blessing that you don't turn into praise has the potential to turn into pride. It's very easy to go, wow, look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. Look what I have gained. When we really are missing the idea that it all came because God has blessed me. God has given me the gifts and the abilities to do what I do. Some of us have the, I deserve it. I earned it. I should have more. I went to church. I give in the offering. God should give me better. I'm better than the other person, so I deserve more than them. But Psalm 63, 4 and 5 says, I will praise you. Who's you? It's God. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. And in doing so, what's the next line say? I will be fully satisfied. It's through praise. It's through giving credit where credit is due that we find ourselves satisfied. As with the richest of foods, with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. We're not wanting anything else because we're fully satisfied as with the richest of foods just through praising God for what we have. I want to read you one more scripture, and I want to tell you a story to bring this to a close. Psalm 103, 2 through 5, and I'm going to use the New Living Translation for this. It says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me." Because once again, we're giving credit where credit is due. "He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from the death and crowns me with the love and tender mercies. He fills my life with the good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles." That scripture is the essence of what we're talking about this morning in giving credit where credit is due. Who's doing all of this? It's not us. It's Him. And we are to be grateful to Him. Now, I brought this book up here with me just to let you know there's a story that I'm going to tell you, and it came from this book. It's from Maxwell Cato, and it's called In the Eye of the Storm. And I want to make sure I give him credit because I could read this from this book right now, but instead, I'm going to tell it to you from my notes. But I think it will wrap all of what we've just talked about up in such a great way. There was an old man walking down a Florida beach. The sun sets like an orange ball on the horizon. The waves slap the sand. The smell of salt water stings the air. The beach is vacant. There's no sun to entice the sunbathers. There's not enough light for the fishermen. So aside from a few joggers and strollers, this gentleman is alone. And he carries a bucket full of shrimp. The shrimp is not for him. The shrimp is not for the fish. It's for the seagulls. He walks to an isolated pier and he steps to the end of the pier. The time has come for his weekly ritual. He stands and waits, and soon the sky is filled with a mass of dancing dots. The evening silence gives way to the screeching of birds. These seagulls are on a pilgrimage to meet this old man. And for a half hour or so, the old man will stand on the pier, surrounded by birds of the sea, until his bucket is empty. They linger even after the bucket is empty, attracted to more than just food. They perch on his hat, they walk on the pier, and the man and the seagulls share a moment. Can you imagine? What a cool scene. And this is true. But I want you to file that scene away for just a moment. And I want to look at some scripture in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29. Keep that scene in your mind for just a moment. Jesus left there and he went along the Sea of Galilee. They went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been here with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." So he began to take some food and multiply it. Now, many of you picture this as the day he fed the 5,000, but it's not. If you just read a few scriptures later, this is a moment where he fed the 4,000. The events have much in common, but they're different in several ways. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he was with the Jews. When he fed the 4,000, he was in a Gentile region called Decapolis. When he was with the 5,000, he taught them, and then he healed them. However, when he was with the 4,000, there's no record of teaching, only that he healed them. When he was with the 5,000, he was there for one afternoon. With the 4,000, he was there for 3 whole days. And for 3 days, he did the most remarkable thing ever. He simply healed person after person after person after person. That's all it says. Many times it would be nice if the New Testament writers would have been a bit more descriptive. And this is one of those times, but it simply says he healed them. It's too short of a phrase to describe the indescribable moment that must have been taking place. Think about it. Can you see a blind husband seeing his wife for the first time? A deaf mom being able to hear a child say mother for the first time. A lame person jumping up and down, excited to be able to walk for the first time, to run along the beach, to do whatever they wanted to do. Envision the man who had never walked. And what about the mute? Being able to say things and sing things and talk to his family for the first time. 3 days, it went on and on and on. Healing after healing. After healing. No record of Jesus preaching or teaching, instructing or challenging. He simply met their needs. And this is what Matthew wrote. The people were amazed. 4,000 people amazed. Each telling a story of healing. And in the midst of all of them is Jesus, not demanding, not complaining, not postponing, just enjoying every minute of it. And this is the next phrase that Matthew says. One that I wish they could have elaborated on as well. He simply says, they praised the God of Israel. They begin to give credit where credit was due. No worship team, no PowerPoint slides, no music, no arguments about hymns or choruses. It didn't matter what time they started. They all just began to praise God because of what He had done. Each one in his own way, with his own heart. There was no right or wrong way to do it. Some knelt, some fell at His feet, some shouted, some sat quietly in His presence, but they praised the God of Israel. Without using the word worship, so many times we picture worship and we think music and we think singing. But here in this moment, worship is when you are aware that what you've been given is far greater than what you can give. Worship is the awareness that were it not for His touch, you'd still be hobbling, you'd still be hurting, you'd still be bitter or broken. Worship is a thank you that refuses to be silenced. Worship is the voluntary act of gratitude offered from the saved to the Savior, the delivered to the deliverer, the healed to the healer. What a great scene. What an incredible moment. Let's go back to the gentleman on the pier with the seagulls. This old man on the pier could not go a week without saying thank you. His name was Eddie Rickenbacker, and every Friday night until his death in 1973, he walked to the end of that pier with a bucket full of shrimp to feed the seagulls. Why? Why would he do this? Over 1,500 Friday nights in a row, he walked to the end of that pier and spent time feeding those seagulls. This is why. In 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was sent on a mission to deliver a message to General Douglas MacArthur. And with a hand-picked crew in a B-17 known as the Flying Fortress, he set off across the South Pacific. And somewhere the crew became lost, they ran out of fuel, and the plane went down. All 8 crew members escaped into life rafts, and they battled weather, sharks, and sun, but most of all they battled hunger. After 8 days, their rations ran out. They had nothing left. And it would take a miracle for them to be saved, and a miracle is what happened. After an afternoon devotion, which blows my mind that in this moment, they took time to have a devotional service where they closed with prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. The men closed their eyes to take a nap. And in that moment, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, dozing off with his hat over his eyes, had a seagull land on his hat. He would later say he knew it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. Everyone else knew too. No one said a word. But peering out from under his hat, without moving, he could see the expression of the other faces, and he knew they were staring at the seagull. It meant food if he could catch it, and that's exactly what he did. The flesh was eaten, the intestines were used as fish bait, and the crew survived because of the seagull. What was the seagull doing hundreds of miles out in the ocean? Who knows? But whatever reason it was, he was there. And Captain Eddie Rickenbacker never forgot. For 30 years, he walked to the end of the pier with a bucket full of shrimp. Every Friday night, on a lonely stretch along the eastern Florida seacoast, you could see this old man, white-haired, slightly bent over, feeding these seagulls with a heart of thanks. To remember the one that on a long day past gave itself without a struggle so he could live. Now that's Thanksgiving. That's giving credit where credit is due. But here's the thing. You can today, you can be thankful for cars, houses, food, money, family, friends, health, wealth, peace, and prosperity. All those things we should be thankful for. But first and foremost, above all, be thankful to the one who willingly gave his life so that we could live. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for healing me, for touching me. And give credit where credit is due. Will you bow your heads with me? I want to read a scripture to you that sums up exactly what we're talking about. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 23 through 25 says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." Church, today we serve a God who is most worthy of praise. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed in this moment, if you're here today and you say, "Chad, I've never began a relationship with God. I've never accepted Jesus into my heart to even be thankful, to even understand what Christ did for me. But I want to begin today. I want to begin in this moment thanking Him for saving me as I accept Him into my heart." If that's you, I just want you to lift your hand and I want to pray with you. Anyone this morning? This moment, understanding what we've just heard, can you take a moment and begin to think of all that God has done for you? Think in your past of those times when you wondered if you were even going to get through. And when you look at it now, all you see is God carried me every step of the way. He was faithful as He always is. Can you remember those moments? The moment you accepted Jesus into your heart. The difference it made in your life. Heavenly Father, we stand before You, we sit before You, saying thank You. Being grateful for all that You have done for each one of us. Lord, it's something we will never be able to pay back. It's something we will never be able to understand. But Lord, we're aware that what You have given us is far greater than what we can give. And because of that, we worship You. We're aware that were it not for Your touch, we'd still be hobbling, hurting, bitter, or broken. And for that, we worship You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? We don't end the service much this way. We're not going to sing a song. All I want to ask is that we just leave this place in a moment of praise to our Heavenly Father, who is worthy and deserving. Can we do that? So in this moment, with your hands, with your voices, with your tears, with your whatever you want to do, I don't care if you jump up and down with your legs, whatever you want to do, let's honor God and say thank You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father, for who You are. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessing, for Your goodness, for Your mercy and Your grace. For it is everlasting, and we are so grateful in this moment. And we say, thank You, God. for all that you have given us. And Lord, may we be grateful throughout this entire week. May we remember everything that you have done for us. May we use what you've blessed us with in order to bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great Thanksgiving. We love you.